Although many of them have retired, the later wave of veterans from Vietnam are still active in the workforce. One of them is John Grant, the Region 8 Customer Accounts and Research Director for the Federal Acquisition Service at the General Services Administration. At one time in Special Forces, Grant worked in the technology industry before joining the federal government. He's also active in the ACT-IAC group. I spoke with him at the recent ACT-IAC Executive Leadership Conference in Williamsburg.
As part of ACT-IAC, I'm the chairman, government chair of the ACT-IAC Rocky Mountain Division. So I'm, come here to see what the ELC was all about. Also, as part of my job being a customer service manager, interacting with the vendors and the other agencies.
There's a couple of new GSA vehicles that are particularly in demand right now in terms of training and outreach, huh?
That's right, yes. One of the biggest ones that just came out was OASIS. It's a new contract where the people from OASIS did a lot of interaction with the government on a site interact, getting their feedback, et cetera, and it's been quite successful project that they managed, where they got a lot of customer feedback from not only the agencies but the vendors as well, and it seems like it's going to be very successful and be billions of dollars worth of business.
All right, so we're looking at people who came from a very unusual place to end up in the federal government. You've been around a little while longer, and let's rewind all the way back to your military days.
Okay. Well, basically, I was, in college at the time, and I was sitting there, and I had a draft deferment. Nobody knows what that is these days. But I decided that wasn't for me, and I was going to serve my country, so I joined the Army with the idea of eventually serving in Vietnam. I was good enough to be selected for the Green Berets, and I joined that organization then.
And that was a fairly new organization at that point. That came as a result of some Kennedy administration initiatives.
Right. Now, in 1964, I think it was, that John F. Kennedy authorized that, President Kennedy back then. So I signed up for that, went through 16 months of training, and then volunteered when I got to Vietnam to be with the Special Operations Organization, not knowing what that was, but...
And support for the military, the way the military was treated by its own leadership, the whole culture was very, very different back then, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, yes. If you wanted a career in the military, it wasn't going to be in Special Forces or Special Operations back then, because that was kind of dead end because it didn't fit with the Army mold.
So what happened? How did you conclude your Army career?
Well, basically, I spent 16 months there, and, when I was getting out, basically, I couldn't have stayed anyway because I had some slight disabilities that I couldn't stay in the unit anyway. So if I couldn't be there, I wanted to, just go back to college, which I did.
And that was where?
City University of New York.
All right. So then what happened? Joined the government right after that?
No, City University of New York. I went there. I was a geology major during the oil crisis. So there weren't very many jobs there. So odd story, but I'll make it short. I ran into my old commanding officer from Vietnam at an ROTC unit that the brother-in-law was associated with. And he said, well, there's industries that hire ex-military officers, so you should try that. So I became an officer in the Marine Corps, a communications officer.
Yeah, so there really wasn't the industry outreach or the federal civilian outreach to veterans that we have to the degree we do have it today.
Right, yes. There was very little emphasis on hiring veterans. My brother-in-law, who worked for the patent office, I said, well, my military background will be good, when I get out. He says, no. He said, everybody thinks people from Vietnam are ex-drug, addicts, and, they didn't want to hire them, essentially. But, after becoming a Marine Corps officer, there's one group that I got involved with information technology, EDS, that had a history of hiring, ex-military officers and military people because they were dedicated to the job.
That was the Ross Perot days.
Ross Perot, yes. Very good.
So that's where you went?
That's where I wound up. And, it was just like taking off one uniform, putting on another.
And so you had a long career in high tech.
Right. I spent about 25 years in high technology. I worked as a computer programmer. I became a customer service manager. I had the opportunity to move into marketing. And then for the next 20 years or so, I built a career in marketing, working my way up to vice president of marketing, worked in large companies, but also entrepreneurial companies where they, talk about innovation. I worked on voice-activated dialing that you have on your phone today. how to create other computer programs with a visual interface, just, you know, what you do today. So I rode the curve way up on the high technology business.
And eventually you came to the point where the vice president of marketing were half your age at that point.
Right. Yeah, it was after the dot-com crash where I was competing with 28-year-old vice presidents of marketing, and I was 55 years old. And plus, my industry was contracting. Large companies were buying up, 10, 50, 100 companies in a year. So the industry, consolidated rapidly, and I saw the handwriting on the wall, and I applied for a government position because I thought I could leverage, my marketing and market research background, et cetera, and it worked out well.
So we're speaking with John Grant of the Denver office of the General Services Administration. Did you go right to GSA?
I went right to GSA, from the high-tech business. I was fortunate enough that they recognized, my marketing and business development and customer service background.
And what year was this?
That was 2004, actually, in December.
Oh, so fairly recently.
Oh, well, very recently.
But a lot's happened in that decade, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. There's been a lot of changes at GSA. A lot of things going on. We have a new administrator and new assistant commissioner that are changing things, and I think there's a lot of innovation going on there.
So looking back over these years from Vietnam to now working for GSA and talking about all of the technologies of mobility and services and online services and so forth, everything's changed completely. What's your perspective on all this?
Well, there was this phrase that no matter how much things change, they still remain the same. And give you a perfect example of that, I hold a director of contracting roundtable about every 4 months out of the Denver area. And I didn't know the people, and my staff did, but they're very busy people, and it's hard for them to come. So what I did was I wrote them handwritten invitations, and I had about a 50% show rate. So people still like the individual attention. They want to talk to people.
These are people that would be users of these vehicles.
Right.
From other agencies in the region.
Right. Directors of contracting from the various offices, whether it be the Air Force, Small Business Administration, Department of Labor, those type of things.
They're all part of that Denver federal complex.
Right.
So from the perspective of the West and the mountains, what does Washington look like from out there?
Washington, it's a very faraway place. We're sitting in Williamsburg. I can imagine how the colonists felt with King George when we talk about that, because that's kind of what we feel like. The edicts are issued, and then, 3 months later, the courier comes, and this is what you'll do.
But pretty much, I imagine, in Denver, it's much more businesslike. What do you have? How can we get this done without a lot of, policy debates that we have endlessly in the Washington end of things?
No, you're exactly right, because I used to be in corporate American marketing, and I'd go out to the regional sales offices, and they'd say, "You people in the ivory tower don't know what you're doing." So now being in a regional office, I understand what they meant by that. So when, they want to do something, especially like OASIS, this new service that they're coming out with, it's our job to figure out how to get the people there, make sure they get trained on it, then if they have any further questions, facilitate, the back and forth, that type of thing.
And to this day, do you feel that the Special Forces experience in Vietnam still informs how you do things and how you think about things?
Oh, absolutely. We heard a speaker here today talk about diversity. And that's one of the things that, I really believe in, is because it's different mind thoughts, different ways of thinking. And when you pull that all together, you come up with new ideas. It's the collaboration environment. Not only that, it's, I always tell my wife it's indigenous populations. When I came to Denver, my boss from Fort Worth says, "Well, I don't know how you're going to like it there. People are really laid back." So, being from New York City, I'm not laid back. I'm the type A, so you always have to adjust. So it's a good experience having, done that.